I'd like to welcome everyone to LI in the AM. This is Frank McKay filling in for Jay Oliver. Our friend Jay Oliver will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, Frank McKay here. Our very special guest on LI in the AM is Jim McCarty. He is the drummer and a founding member of the legendary band, the Yardbirds. Many of you will know that the Yardbirds produced three very famous guitarists, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page, in that order. And of course, Jimmy Page went on to form the New Yardbirds, which turned into Led Zeppelin. And Clapton and Beck, the solo careers that they had were unbelievable. Jim McCarty is here with me. And Sunday, October 13th, you could see the Yardbirds live at the Suffolk Theater in Riverhead. It's a great place to see a show, and welcome Jim McCarty.
Thank you very much, Frank. Lovely to be here.
Well, listen, same here. Lovely to have you. And I'm speaking to you from France, right? You're in France now, permanently?
I'm living in France, down in the south. So I've got a bit of sunshine today.
All right. Yeah. Listen, it's terrific. And congratulations on a long and terrific career. Tell us about the latest lineup.
Well, the latest lineup has been together not too long, but the latest guitar player, we've just done the one tour up to now, called Godfrey Townsend, who's very good. He's a very nice guy, he's very easygoing, and he fits in really well. And we've got a great team together. We've got Kenny Aronson on the bass, who's played in lots of other bands. He's played with Bob Dylan, believe it or not, and he's played with New York Dolls and Billy Idol. There's Mike Scavone, who's in a New Jersey band called the Doughboys, who are very good, and John Iden, who's the singer, and he was on the Yardbirds' latest studio album. I'm going back to 2003. Called Birdland. So he was the singer on that, and he's been with the band for a while.
I know all of these folks either, through interviews or just from, past projects. But Mike Scavone also was from Ram Jam, who had the big hit Black Betty. And am I misremembering that, or is that's Mike?
No, that's right. Yeah, you well done. That was that's good information. He was he's in the Ram Jam.
Yeah, and everyone knows that song. It's played every day somewhere or another. But you got a lot of talent. You got a lot of talent in the band. I imagine that there's a lot of folks that want to play with the Yardbirds. I mean, simply the name alone. But I mean, you have great music. You've been around a long time, but it's a brand name, and the Yardbirds.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So people really love the idea of playing in the band, especially in the States. A lot of the people have grown up with the music, and they played it in their first bands, and they know all the songs, and that's the case with this group. And it really is a lovely chemistry with us all, and they're all very honourable to the Yardbirds name, and they're really great players.
Do you remember at what point you felt like a brand name? Was it after your first hit? Was it after your success at the club level? Because, over in England, you guys were, part of that big wave that was coming out and the new generation. you were a big, major part of that. And again, go ahead.
Yes, when we started playing around the clubs, we needed a strong name. And I remember Keith Ruff, the singer, thought it up. It came out of one of his Jack Kerouac books, I think. And he thought up the Yardbirds. I thought, quite an odd name, but very good. And it really stuck. And I remember our manager at the time, I'm going back to 1963 now, Giorgio Gomelski. He was quite a character. And he said, in a few months, this would be Yardbirds would be a household name. And he was actually right.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you set eyes on Eric Clapton? Did you go back to school days with him, or was it later on?
No. He was in the art school sort of trend of people. He went to art school with Keith and Chris in the band, Chris Treyer, and They were all in an arts court stream, and Paul Samuel Smith, the bass player, and me, we were at grammar school, which is like a high school, which is quite different. And the art school was something where people, you know, failed to get into the high school. So they decided to study art, and it was much more bohemian. There was a lot more musicians in that stream. And, you know, people like the Rolling Stones and the Pretty Things, they all went to art school in the time.
Well, if you're just joining us, Jim McCarty is our very special guest. Frank McKay here, filling in for Jay Oliver this morning. He'll be back tomorrow. And I want to remind everyone that you could see the Yardbirds, the legendary Yardbirds, at the Suffolk Theater in Riverhead, and that's on October 13th, which is Sunday night. And again, this is a band who has had so many hits and certainly have been such a huge part of history. Jim McCarty, their drummer and founding member, is certainly a witness to that history. And as I mentioned, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page, in that order, were that famous trio that came out of the Yardbirds and launched careers. Page, the latest of the three, went on to form the new Yardbirds after that, and that became Led Zeppelin. And prior to that, Jeff Beck left to do solo work and did tremendous work. And Eric Clapton, everyone knows certainly the history there. But Jim McCarty has been there, and he's he's the keeper of the flame of the Yardbirds, and he's I think you've been there for every incarnation. I don't know that there's ever been a drummer other than Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds.
I think that's very unusual. Suddenly I have to pinch myself sometimes, think I've been in the group the whole time and I'm the only remaining member. But it's interesting about the guitar players, because they were all they all lived not far away from each other. They all grew up in the same area, sort of Surrey, which is just outside London, county of Surrey, and probably lived within 20 or 30 miles of each other. So it's really odd, isn't it, that all that talent was concentrated in that particular area.
Was there a common thread between the three, other than the Yardbirds? I mean, was there a teacher, a guitar teacher, or was there some type of, did they go to the same school?
They all went to art school, some art school. They didn't go to the same one, but I think Jimmy and Jeff knew each other since they were about 10 years old, apparently. So I think they were pretty friendly with each other. They might have gone to the same school. And Clapton went to the same school, as I said, as Keith and Chris. They were all tied up in that sort of art school trend. And we were all from the same area anyway, and we were all very keen to play the blues music that we heard coming out of America. It was all very exciting at the time. We just loved it, all that. You know, Muddy Waters, Sonny Boy Williamson, Elmore James, Bo Diddley. It all seemed to erupt in Britain all at about the same time, and it was very, very exciting.
Do you personally remember much about your first tour of America?
Oh, yes. Yes. The first tour was about 65, I remember, and we had big problems with our work permits. I remember that. It was all quite tricky in those days. And then when we came over, we found we didn't have the right permits to play, so we just did a couple of gigs, and then we ended up playing like a couple of parties, and we played a famous party in Los Angeles, and lots of people came. It was one of those legendary nights everyone still talks about. And then, of course, the next tour, we were well organized and we played around. But it was always very exciting to come over in those days. It was a dream for English kids to come to Hollywood or come to the U.S. It was so, it was so exciting for us.
You know, of course, February of 64 was a big year, a big week, I should say, first week in February for America music in general. And that was when the Beatles landed, and of course they played Ed Sullivan. What were you hearing back there? And again, you're playing, you know, in you know, a heavy blues feel then, and you knew, you know, basically you're being influenced by the same folks that the Stones and the Beatles were. Did you see that as an opportunity at that point when the Beatles started exploding here? What were you hearing back in England? Was it optimism there?
It was sort of buzzing around. You spoke to other bands, and they talked about stateside, you know. But we were so into what we were doing and having such fun with the music, we never really thought much about the future. But of course, the thought of going to the US was always very, very nice for us, very exciting for us. And when we first came, it was great, fantastic.
Jim McCarty, once again, is the voice that you're hearing. If you're just turning on your radios or just tuning in a little bit late, Frank McKay here with Jim McCarty, and he's from the legendary Yardbirds, and he's the last founding member in the band, and he has seen every incarnation of the Yardbirds, from Eric Clapton to Jimmy Page, and Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page in that order, and now Godfrey Townsend, who's a great player, by the way. He's a tremendous player, and he's got a resume a mile long, and you could see him with Jim McCarty and the others, Mike Scavone from Ram Jam, I should say of the Yardbirds, but he formerly of the Ram Jam. Kenny Aronson, another great player, and they'll all be at the Suffolk Theater on October 13th, and that's a Sunday here on Long Island. Everyone, come and see Jim McCarty. And have you played this venue before? Have you? I know you've played Long Island, but have you played the Suffolk Theater?
I'm not actually sure. It doesn't ring a bell with me, Frank. It sounds like a great venue. I love those. It's probably a real old-fashioned theater, which I really enjoy. I love those old American theaters in that area. You know, there's so many of them, and they're always got great character, and I like playing those days.
Do you have an ideal number of dates that you'd like to play? You know, obviously, it's not like when you're in your 20s and 30s where, you know, you're out there 250 days or 300 days a year. It's different. But is there an ideal number? Is it 50? Is it 100? How many shows do you like to play per year?
I don't know. I just take it as it comes. It's not really a huge amount. Probably a minimum of about 50 a year. I think that's probably about right. We used to come over for like 6 week tours in the old days, but now I obviously can't really keep it going too long. So I think about 2 or 3 weeks is the ideal time, and over the whole year. Now we've got into doing some cruises, which I never thought I would enjoy so much, but it really is quite nice because You don't have to travel. You just go back to your cabin and relax. So that makes it a lot easier. I reckon a minimum of about 50 dates a year.
You know, I asked this of a lot of the British musicians that I grew up listening to, and certainly you and the Yardbirds are, you know, a favorite of mine. And I've always I had a large collection of vinyl from the Yardbirds. But do you keep in touch not only with the old Yardbirds, Page, Clapton, and Beck, but I think here in America we always have this romantic view of the British musician, and kind of you bump into each other at pubs and you get up there and jam. Is there any of that going on, or is that just in our imaginations? Are you are you in touch with a lot of these guys?
Well, sort of. Now and then. I mean, it's a funny thing. You seem to see them all at weddings and funerals. You know, it's the old story.
Yeah.
And you're into, you know, you get into your old life and your own life. And I'm here in France, so I'm a bit out of the way in a way. But it's nice when you see the guys from the old groups, because you're not really in competition anymore. And back in the day, you were always competing to try and, you know, try and have more hits or try and, you know, play better on stage or whatever. But now it's a great camaraderie when you see them. And for instance, I see Hilton Valentine quite a bit from the Animals, and he lives over in Connecticut. And he usually turns up at a show, and he's a good mate. He's from Newcastle, which is a long way from where I lived, but he's a good guy. And I I'm still quite matey with some of the Pretty Things and people like that. So yeah, it's nice to see those guys. You have so much in common, you know.
Well, we got a couple of moments left with Jim McCarty. I'm speaking to him from France, south of France, and. Or southern France, I should say, and he's the founding member of the Yardbirds, the legendary group that produced Clapton, Beck, and Jimmy Page, and Jim McCarty, and Keith Ralph, and tremendous talent that came out of that, Paul Samuel Smith, that came out of that band, and thrilled to have Jim once again with me. Frank McKay again filling in for Jay Oliver. You could see the Yardbirds on October 13th. At the Suffolk Theater, and that is in Riverhead. And Jim's right, it's a great old theater. It's got a great history, but it sounds good. It's a really good sounding place, and you'll get to hear and see the legendary Yardbirds there. Jim, let me ask you: you've been there from the beginning with the Yardbirds. Have you ever turned down a gig with? And I know you played with Renaissance, and you know you've played with different people, and you know side projects and so forth. But have you ever turned down a gig with a band that kind of went on to do big things because of your stick-to-itiveness or your loyalty to the Yardbirds? Did you ever pass up on something that went on to be something real big?
I'm trying to think. I suppose the only time was Led Zeppelin, of course, but we decided at the wrong time to go to do something else. Keith Ralph and myself, we went and formed Renaissance instead of going into Zeppelin, who were ultimately much more successful. But I think that's the only thing I can think of. Now and then, people ask me to join a group or have done, and I've sort of, turned it down because I'm probably lazy or doing something else, but it doesn't happen too much. But a lot of these stories, actually, Frank, are in the book I've done called Nobody Told Me. I don't know whether you knew about that, but that came out last year. And that's a fun book. If anyone wants to know what it's like working with these people, it's all in there, and I managed to put a few funny anecdotes together, so it's quite a good read.
You know, you've got to pardon my ignorance. I've spoken to you a couple of times, but it was before the book. I remember you saying you were working on a book, and people have probably been telling you for years to get it. But Nobody Told Me is the name of the book by Jim McCarty, and I'm telling you, I'm sure it's great. Everyone's got to buy it, and I'm sure at Amazon, right, Barnes & Noble, and all of those fine places you can get it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually on a self-publishing label called Lulu, but you can get it on Amazon.com.
Well, listen, I got about 2 minutes left with you, Jim, but go back to Zeppelin. You said that that you and Keith had the opportunity to stick with Jimmy on Zeppelin, and that was with the new Yardbirds, and I think you've told me in the past that you were like, we just didn't think it would fly with, the new Yardbirds or whatever. But was there an opportunity to join Zeppelin from your standpoint?
Well, in a way, but these things don't never turn out quite the same, do they? Looking back at them, in a way, we could have gone on to do Zeppelin, but we were always, I suppose, if we'd have kept with the Yardbirds, but it would have always been the Yardbirds, which was, a different thing, but. Funny history when you look back on it, you see what might have been, but I don't regret any of that. I think we made the right moves, and we wanted to do something a bit different at the time, and we did Renaissance. That's funny enough, I'm doing their 50th anniversary show in Philadelphia when I come over. So, you know, I'm playing in two different bands, so that's quite funny for me.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's terrific, and I wouldn't regret a thing. What a career you've had. And again, the founding member and the solid member all throughout, and the only member of the Yardbirds to see the all the different incarnations of the Yardbirds. The great Jim McCarty has been our very special guest. He's the author of Nobody Told Me, and everyone must get this. And I'll tell you what, all the stories and the times that I've spoken to Jim, it's just fascinating. I'm going to buy the book immediately. Everyone else should as well. Amazon.com and everywhere else. But Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds will be there with the latest incarnation of the Yardbirds at the Suffolk Theater in Riverhead on October 13th, which is a Sunday night. Everyone get there. It's terrific. Jim McCarty, thanks for being here. Congratulations on all the success. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much, Frank, and thanks a lot for having me on the show. It's very nice.
Absolutely. Jim McCarty, everyone of the Yardbirds, get the book Nobody Told Me, and check out the Yardbirds at Suffolk Theater in Riverhead, Sunday night, October 13th. Signing off for now. We'll be back after this. Frank McKay filling in for Jay Oliver.